is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First, General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Tampa General Hospital, and Wendy's.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Really glad that you could join us today. If today I am being joined by the one and only Mrs. Laverne Gardner. Normally you would hear Laverne on Morning Blend, but she's kind today on the show. Hello, Laverne. How you doing?
Hi, Shivago. Hello to our listeners. It's good to be here today.
Excellent. You're there in Grand Bahama. Guess what? I'm in Western Carolina.
Okay.
Doing something that you and I have done maybe regularly now for several years. I'm taking now my last son, last child.
Yes. Right?
And so that's where I am today. But again, thanks for joining. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. If you are in the Family Islands, you can call us on the toll-free number 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We are also able to be contacted by text, and that's 422-4796. 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me, that's my WhatsApp number now, not the show, on 439-3043. Laverne, there's so much to talk about today.
Where do we start?
let me start. So, The acting prime minister of the Bahamas, at the time these comments were made, the Honorable Chester Hooper, was asked about the National Investment Fund and monies being moved out of that fund. And the acting prime minister, that's very important for you to remember, the acting prime minister of the Bahamas said that that's a matter for the Ministry of Finance, so he's going to let them comment on it. And that the opposition, bear in mind, it wasn't the opposition alone that was making this inquiry. And in fact, at the time, the opposition wasn't making the inquiry at all. This was the media. And he said that the opposition was seeking relevance, remember that word, and that they were doing what oppositions do, remember those words, which is to gripe and complain.
Oh.
Okay. So let's talk about it today. This is the acting prime minister, the minister of education, making those comments. And I thought, Laverne, that this could make for some good civic education. Okay, so good civic education. Feel free to both ask any question you want or make any comment you want when I make a few points. First of all, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas is known as the First Lord of the Treasury. Okay? Prime Minister of a country is the First Lord of the Treasury. The Minister of Finance's job is to find the money necessary to fund the government. The First Lord of the Treasury is the ultimate person responsible for the public funds moving in and out of the Treasury and accounting to Parliament for that under the people of the Bahamas. That's why it's called the First Lord of the Treasury. If you therefore are acting Prime Minister, who are you?
The Lord of the Treasury. Acting Lord of the Treasury. Let me say it correctly.
Acting First Lord of the Treasury. Okay? So you can't tell nobody, oh, that's them other people. You must let them answer the question. That's them other people. Now, let me ask you a question. Had that reporter asked, you know, we were told that the government achieved a $200 million surplus last year. Do you have any comments, sir? What do you think would have happened, Laverne?
I don't know exactly what would happen, but I'm sure he would not have said he would let the Ministry of Finance speak to that.
Okay, there you go.
He would have a statement regarding that.
Okay. Second point is, the deputy minister is a member of the cabinet. And in our system of government, there is what we call collective responsibility, which falls more heavily on a prime minister who's the chair of the cabinet and a deputy prime minister who chairs the cabinet in his absence. Now, did you recall that the Minister of Finance said that they had passed a resolution in Parliament to move the hundreds of millions of dollars they moved from in excess borrowings to the National National Investment Fund? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now,
at that time, it was 265, I think, 0.3 yes. million.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So can I tell you that the only way a resolution gets to the House of Assembly is that it is first approved by cabinet?
Okay.
There's no resolution that's coming to the House that hasn't first gone to the cabinet for consideration and then goes, because you agree in cabinet to send the resolution to Parliament, and then that produces a yellow cabinet conclusion, which is sent out to the relevant ministries to note that that was going to happen. So you, the Deputy Prime Minister and every other minister knows about that resolution.
Correct.
Okay, that's the second thing. And thirdly, was the Deputy Prime Minister not in the House of Assembly when the resolution was passed?
I'm sure he was. And even if he wasn't, I'm sure he was made aware of it.
And you think that the Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas does not know about the government of the Bahamas putting $700 million, putting $265 million into a national investment fund, and then moving that money out of the national investment. You really think the Deputy Prime Minister would not know about that?
Oh. Come on now. Of course.
Okay. So when I listened to him, I really asked myself, I said, this much is true. If the Deputy Prime Minister said what he said in relation to that and did not know what he was saying, that's alarming. If he said what he said, knowing what he said, that's also alarming. It's alarming. Now, he went on further to say the opposition was seeking relevance and that they were doing what oppositions do, gripe and complain.
Well,
I thought to myself, first of all, the relevance an opposition has is enshrined in the Constitution of the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
Okay? In the Constitution of the Bahamas, a loyal opposition is named and required to be consulted with on any number of appointments, key appointments in the country. True or not true?
Absolutely. It's part of the responsibility of the opposition is to scrutinize the government. It's to challenge it where it's necessary and to scrutinize the government.
I that's what I thought. As a constitutional responsibility of relevance, right?
Absolutely.
What I also found curious about that statement was, wasn't a few years ago, the Deputy Prime Minister and his team in opposition?
In opposition? Correct.
So they weren't relevant then?
At that time, I guess their job, because again, let's keep it in the context of what the Deputy Prime Minister said. He said that the opposition is one, looking for relevance, and two, doing what oppositions do, which is what?
Gripe and complain.
So when they were in opposition, they were one, looking for relevance, two, griping and complaining.
Okay, now, they were therefore doing what oppositions do, according to him, looking for relevance and then griping and complaining. Now, apparently, griping and complaining works because they won in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you, as an opposition, not gripe and complain now, since griping and complaining apparently gets you a fix as it did for the Deputy Prime Minister and his team in 2020? As did the Ingram Group in 1992, because they were in opposition then. And what do oppositions do? Gripe and complain. And then in 2002, the oppositions do, they gripe and complain. And then in 2007, the Ingram Group, because they gripe and complain. And then in 2012, the Christie Group, because what you do, you gripe and complain. And then in 2017, the Millis team, because what do? You gripe and complain. And then in 2021, the Davis team, because what do? You gripe and complain, because that's what oppositions do.
It works, eh? It worked.
Did I miss something? Did I miss something? That's what I found that incredulous being made, that statement by the deputy, the acting prime minister of the Bahamas, that thing.
For me, I found it disturbing because these are legitimate questions. And absolutely. For you to easily dismiss this or try to dismiss it as the opposition looking for relevance, just griping and complaining, that's an insult to me because I have questions. I want to understand.
Absolutely. Right?
I have been searching because that's the type of person that I am, searching and trying to see if I missed anything. Did I leave out? Was I, you know, was something gazetted? Was something posted somewhere so that I could understand what is happening? Why this money and how this money was moved, simply because there were some things for me that I thought had to be in place and the timelines didn't match up.
And you didn't only think this, you have evidence that it's supposed to be in place because the laws, the National Investment Fund Act says only the board of the National Investment Fund can set up a fund of the fund. Okay, so what people don't know is the National Investment Fund in law is is supposed to be a big fund. So it's a statutory entity. But to carry out its work, it might have a particular fund to do, say, airports, to do, say, bridges, to do, say, roadworks. And therefore, it would have those particular funds. And then the law says that the funds board is the only...
They're supposed to manage this.
Well, not only that. They're the only entity that can set up an account of the board, of the fund. Think about that for a minute. So if you don't have a board, the fund can't have an account. Since, therefore, we were told there is no board, and I can tell you no board has been convened, had a meeting to do anything, because the way it works with the boards is if you want an account of the board, an account set up, the board convenes, passes a resolution, identifies the financial institution, which has to be certified by the central bank that this is acceptable, and then you put in place all of the requirements for the signatories and who's going to be the signatories, whether it's going to be an A or B, A and B signatory arrangement. All that has to be determined. And then you pass that resolution, and that then allows the administrative machinery of the fund, which we do not know of, who's the CEO, who's the president. We don't know any of that because as far as we know, none of that's been appointed. Then they go ahead and work with the financial institution to set up things. So now, if there
and
is,
we know as of June, let's please note that it, even in saying this, we know as of June, based on the minister's own assertion, that the board that had not even been finalized yet. This
absolutely.
Is June 2026.
Absolutely. So therefore, and the money had already been transferred by
right.
the time as he said that. Okay. Now, if the board has no account, where did you send the money? See, because for the money to be in the possession of the fund, it has to be an account owned by the fund, and an account owned by the fund only be established by the board of the fund. And if there's no board, logic says, there is no account. If there is no account, when you made your transfer, to which account was the transfer made? You're pulling money out of an account out of the consolidated fund,
mm-hmm.
and you are depositing it somewhere. Now, there's only two options in that regard. You are either, three, you are either depositing it to an account of the fund, but we know that's eliminated because there's no board, so therefore there's no account by the board, created by the board. Or you are sending it to a special purpose vehicle, which means you went and incorporated a special purpose vehicle for the purpose of establishing an account that you are going to deposit monies into. And I can't tell you, begin to tell you the troubling nature of that, if that is what happened. And thirdly, you sent it to another account owned by the consolidated fund, which means you ain't sent it nowhere. You could only have notionally said, okay, I can put this here, but this
right.
for the NIF. And Laverne, let me tell you, if that is true, if you send it to an account still in the possession of the consolidated fund, that means when you move that money to expend it, you just impacted the national budget because you made an expense. Two things, problems with that. One, you made an expenditure perhaps not approved by the parliament. And two, you just affected the outcome of your fiscal budget because unless there is a counteracting revenue to that expenditure, you just increased your expenditure by $265 million, which means you would have a deficit, not a surplus.
About
Claire?
Reading, you're just trying to find relevance, ma.
Maybe. And so,
but
so
everything
so,
that you were saying, these are fair. Again, we go back to these are fair questions.
Haven't been raised now for weeks and
right.
weeks, you know, weeks and weeks, not for 2 days, for weeks.
This
I've been saying
this isn't troublemaking. This isn't going trying to go against progress. These are the questions because there has to be checks and balances. So these are the kinds of questions that we as people, as listeners, these are the things that we need to know to understand so we know how to ask the right questions. And when we receive responses, we can analyze, scrutinize these responses to see if they make sense, if they match up with what we know to be true and the way that government works and how it is run.
For 5 years, I was the minister responsible for finance in the Bahamas. 5 years. The questions I raise on questions raised by someone with not an inside understanding of how the public finances of the Bahamas works. Okay? So, and I don't ask the questions frivolously, and I'm not asking the question partisanly. The FNM can tell you, they've called me on occasions, can you speak at this event? Can you speak at this function? Even youth organizations of the FNM have called on me. And I tell them, Laverne, I said, I work at the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of the Bahamas. I cannot participate in any partisan event or activity.
Right.
That's my posture, and they can tell you that. And I've also said, if the PLP calls on me to ask me a matter related to public finances, public policy, and all that kind of stuff, I am duty bound to go.
Gotcha.
If the COI asks me, if the DNA asks me, if the FNM asks me, in the context of the expertise I have, in the position I have, I am duty bound to go. But not to attend a partisan event speaking exclusively because you think or ask me, I am a FNM, therefore I want you to speak at this. I will not do it.
Right.
So when I ask these questions and raise these questions, you can get mad at me because of the context of my history, if you wish. You can't argue, you cannot argue the logic of the queries I raise because they are raised from an expertise born of experience. And I am saying today, it is troubling and problematic that the government of the Bahamas has moved the $700, according to the Minister of Finance, $1 million, if not more, into a fund that has no board, has no governing machinery, has no operational managerial machinery, certified by the legislative processes of established by the government itself. And that it is moving monies in and out of this, end quote, fund, and cannot detail and justify for the public what it is doing. That is troubling to no end. And that's where we are. And that's not an opposition query. That's what the press has been asking about. Neil Hartnell asked about it as a member of the press of the Tribune.
I go back to, and these are the kinds of questions that we, the public, should be asking and listening and paying attention to and making notes so that we understand how government works, how it's being run, how the money is being spent, how is it being managed. Because, again, we go back in this instance. If you were saying as of June 2026 that the board has not been finalized, how then, as of March 2026, $265.1 million was moved? I need to know how that was deployed if the board wasn't finalized. Who was the legal authority? What was the legal authority?
I don't produce the report in March. Who produced it? If you don't have a board, who produced on behalf of the fund a report in March? And a report of what? Of what account that belongs to the NIF? Listen. This text says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What Mitchell and others have been saying about making complaints is deeply worrying. They are saying that that FNMs or opposition members are not allowed to have certain answers from the government. And who, if you are a Bahamian appearing to be aligned with an opposition party or not so identified, if you dare to demand reasonable answers, you will be deemed as opposition and therefore not entitled to answers from the government and treated with total disrespect," says that text. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame, classic style. Big flavor, big protein, big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money, only at Burger King Nassau.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply. Tell
them. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/global.
Wendy's is spicing things up this summer with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger. A hot, juicy beef patty topped with spicy jalapenos, creamy ranch sauce, melted cheese, and fresh toppings for the perfect balance of cool and spicy. Every bite brings bold flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Turn up the flavor with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger at Wendy's today. Available for a limited time only.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner as we speak about any number of issues in current. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You know what is interesting, Laverne, is that the Deputy Prime Minister says that the opposition is seeking relevance. I recall the Deputy Prime Minister sometime last year saying that the opposition was seeking to undermine progress on the island of Grand Bahama. Now, how can an irrelevant something undermine anything? I recall this year that the Prime Minister said that his effort to give a raise to members of Parliament was born of a suggestion made by the leader of the opposition. Irrelevant somebody could move you to do something as big as give a raise to the whole Parliament of the Bahamas, which most of whom are the members of the governing Progressive Liberal Party. All right, the Deputy Prime Minister was unwilling to comment on the NIF matter because it was a matter for the Ministry of Finance. But had no difficulty commenting on any number of issues related to progress in the country in environmental matters, Grand Bahama matters as a minister of Grand Bahama, and so forth and so forth. This acting prime minister says, no man, that's for the Minister of Finance.
And you know, that's to be expected. The things that we're uncomfortable with, we, you know, pass the buck.
but you pass it on to your own colleague as if it's a hot potato?
Absolutely. Let them answer.
Oh, this too hot. Can't touch that.
Yeah. I'm not touching this because when I start to answer that, I may say something that may cause more questions. You see?
It's unfortunate because there is a collective responsibility that belongs to the cabinet. And I could understand on occasions you might well say, you know, you should take that up with, you know, especially if you are far removed from a particular something. But the truth of the matter is you're the acting prime minister.
Yeah. And not only that.
Acting prime minister.
And not only that, Shivago, you recognize that this is something that is out here that mm-hmm. you should mm-hmm. be aware of. This is something mm-hmm. that's being discussed in some way, some form, mm-hmm. all day, last week, the week before, this week. And so it is your responsibility that even if you don't have all of the details, you need sure. to be able to have some details, right? Now, right. maybe you may speak and then say for the finite, for the more, you know, in-depth details, we're going to have to allow the Minister of Finance or that ministry to speak. But you should have some knowledge. You should be able to speak to it in some way or form other than speak to the Ministry of Finance. The opposition is looking for relevance. And this is for all governments because this isn't the first time we've seen this, right? We've seen these passing of the bucks in different governments. We cannot continue to do this. And we as a public, we cannot allow governments to get away with that.
Well, I've been in government. I've been in two governments for over 10 years, non-consecutively. The ones I was in don't do that. So we didn't do that. I mean, because we in material matters, we are seized of the facts of most things. And just as you say, what we may say is, you know, no, we are doing X, Y, and Z in that regard. But, you know, for more details, you should really
correct
speak to the Minister of Public Works. Because I don't have all the facts, but I can tell you broadly what we're doing. Here's why why what the deputy prime minister said in terms of kicking it to the Ministry of Finance doesn't work. Because the director of communication, the director of communication, he's not a cabinet minister.
No.
Was able to come to the public of the Bahamas with a press statement. A press statement.
On X. On X.
And said, oh, no, the $265 million was spent primarily on airports. On airports. Now, you telling me a acting prime minister can't say that or some more?
I guess he didn't make the call.
Can't tell me, oh, yeah, we doing an airport upgrade in San Sal, an upgrade in Cat Island, and a this and a that and the next thing and some other things and so forth and so forth. No. That's a matter for the Ministry of Finance. No. Not appropriate for an acting prime minister. Not appropriate for a deputy prime minister. And not appropriate in light of, I can guarantee you, the minute we get a positive piece of news from any area of the government, you will be sure the deputy prime minister shall speak to it. You could be sure of it.
As he should.
Not acceptable. Now, I don't know if you are aware of what is happening in Grand Bahama with the, we're being told Parliament for Central Grand Bahama that the emergency, some
has been moved. The emergency department has been temporarily moved. Grand Bahama Health Services, and they sent out something saying that it was temporarily moved. And then I did see a video with the member of Parliament for Central Grand Bahama who visited the area where it was moved, and she was expressing some concern.
Did they say why? Like what the reason for the movement was?
I don't recall in the press statement if I saw a reason. There could have been, but I don't recall. Let me say right. that. I don't want to come out and say, no, there wasn't a reason given.
Let me say my general impression of the Ram Memorial Hospital, it was this. Notwithstanding constraints it has, that group of people appeared to me to be operating on the most professional basis under those constraints. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking merely as a member of the public, but I'm speaking as somebody who was a patient. And just so people say, don't say, Laverne, that I was a patient that they probably gave special treatment to. Can I tell you that when I went to the Ram Memorial Hospital in the most pain I've ever been in my entire life last year, I'm talking, you remember I had to travel.
Yeah, I remember.
I couldn't even sit down. The most pain I'd been in my life for at least an hour plus. I was on a gurney in the hallway having people walk past me. Say, Mr. Lang, that's you? Yeah, this is me. Okay, so anybody give me no special treatment, right? But the circumstances they were confronted with, what I saw them do for me and others, I had to say, and what they did when my mother was there, in the last 2 days she died, Laverne, the way they were handling all the peoples visiting their peoples, there was just this level of organization and dignity I observed, right? So there's constraints there. But my general impression is that they are trying to do their best with what they got.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if they had to move the emergency room. I'm sure they we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. I got to give you a minute or you want to call back. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Still there? Okay. Call back, please. I'm sorry about that. So they must have a reason to do so. That doesn't mean that the MP isn't right to ask, could somebody tell us why? What's going on? Why hasn't the public been advised? Because if you are in an emergency, you would want to know where you need to go, right?
Exactly. And some legitimate concerns, because apparently, as she was saying that the space, the temporary space where they're roof to can only hold about 15 people. And then what they do is put some chairs outside. And one of the videos I saw while she was talking, it started to rain. And she was there standing where you and you can see some seating outside.
I've seen that before. Yeah.
So I think that's a legitimate concern, right? And while you may say, okay, well, that doesn't impact me because I don't have to go to the hospital, but there are people that in and out are going to the hospital constantly.
Yeah, and if you're elderly or you may have been a heart patient or whatever, you know people are frequently in and out of the hospital.
Right, and even if you say, well, you know, it's not always raining, it has literally been, I've told someone, at least 650,000 degrees here in Grand Bahama to even have to sit outside. Like, and when you go out there, it's like, what?
We have to take a break.
To sit under that, you know?
We are, what the temperature is?
650,000 degrees.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break for news. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm here joined by Mrs. Laverne Gardner of Morning Blend for 2 seconds. So glad you could join us today. Thank you for lending your talents and to us for two seconds today. We appreciate your contribution. If you want to give us a call today, ladies and gentlemen, you can call us on 323-6232-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands toll-free on 242-300-5720. You can text on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Laverne. So we covered Deputy Prime Minister Cooper. I don't know if we finished NIAF yet.
I have some questions. I need some clarity. I've been searching for clarity. So I'm hoping that we could find some today.
Okay. Well, let's go. Let's see what we could do.
Okay. So as I was thinking about this board and the board not being formed, my question then was if the minister perhaps has the authority to move money without the board. And if so, if it's anywhere in the act, just point it out to me. Question number one.
Okay. So the problem with the question is this. So the fund is an entity unto itself in law.
Right.
For you to give something to the fund has to have something to receive it. Okay, that's like I say I gave Laverne $100. I could only do that if I can't give you cash in your hands or I transfer from me to an account of yours. Right. If I don't do either one of those things, even if I say to somebody I gave Laverne $100, would that be true?
No.
Even if I intended to give you $100, would it be true that I gave you $100?
No.
Okay, so I have to give it to you in a form in which you are
able to receive it.
Okay, good. So the fund has no board, no management, no board, no account. What did I give it to?
Okay.
So from my point of view, as the information now stands, the fund has nothing, got nothing. And that money was always in the possession of the ministry and the Minister of Finance and the government. And they were just using public funds to do whatever it is they do with public funds. That's it. There's no other explanation for it. They were operating, transacting under the context of the Consolidated Fund. And therefore governed by the Constitution and the Financial Administration and Audit Act.
So, okay. So is there a fund or isn't there a fund?
There is in law a fund, but that's right. That's like me saying the day I set up and incorporated on a company called Z Inc., Z Limited. That's it. So is there a company called Z Limited? Of course there is. I incorporated it. Okay, now, Z Limited cannot open an account unless a board of Z Limited is appointed to set up an account, according to the Articles of Association of the company. I didn't appoint a board. I didn't give it any management. So the Z Limited can't have an account. So I send anything to Z Limited because Z Limited has no way to receive it. Is there a Z Limited? Yes, there is.
Yes.
But did you send anything to Z Limited? You may have wanted to, but you can't. See one and no thing to receive it. And the fact that it does not is a fact. This is how I want it. But because its articles and memorandums define how it can do its business.
Right.
And that's what the National Investment Fund Act is. It's item.
Okay, so my next question, having been told that, okay, this went towards airport infrastructure, I need to understand how that resources, which airport received which amount. And I'm asking that being going back into the various announcements where we had already received some funding, whether it was through loans or public-private partnerships with regards to airport.
As far as I'm aware, as far as I'm aware, some of those airport projects were funded already. One, I think, by an Exim Bank of Africa.
Well, Saudi Arabia.
Because the Prime Minister toured with that group, that the project in Cat Island, right? But even if they were not funded by any project announced that way, these airport developments were announced in the report of the government leading up to the election as having done 14 such airports. Well, how are you having done that? Presumably, you could only have done that if monies were allocated by the parliament to do so. Now, if you are therefore using this money to do what Parliament instructed you to do, you just made an expenditure out of the fiscal budget. We have a caller on the line, Laverne. Let's take that caller. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, caller, and good afternoon, my most luckiest show host, Laverne. How you doing?
My most
appreciated female show host, Laverne. Listen to me, Mr. Lai. I listening to you guys' conversation debate intensely, and It's nothing short of, I can't even describe the words, because what you're telling me and the nation is that this NIF fund may possibly, some of the parameters surrounding the development of this fund and the operation of this fund may be ultra-virus to the Constitution of the Bahamas. Is that kind of what you may be saying?
Given the information I have today, it seems quite possible, maybe even probable, that the what has been described to us as movements of these monies could have been in contravention of the Constitution and or the NIF Act.
Okay, so let me see if I fall in, because I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but man, I understand exactly what you are saying today. Okay, so anything that has to be approved more than $100,000 or $150,000 outside of Parliament has to be approved by Cabinet, right? That's what you're saying.
Only any contract being issued by the government has to first be approved by the Tenders Board. All contracts, all. If that contract is in excess of $100,000, then that contract has to be, I think it's $250,000 actually, has to be approved or go to the cabinet or some notion like that. There's some amount over which you cannot exceed before that is agreed and approved by cabinet.
And if Grammy Boy memory serves me right, in this little short show you've been having, it sounds to me like that aspect of it was not done.
Well, this is even something different. So we're talking about an instance in which the government borrowed $2+ billion, said it paid off $1.8 or so billion, had $700 million in borrowed monies left over, and sent that money, it said, to the National Fund. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, the NIF we call it, but it's the National Investment Fund. So we're not even talking about a contract award. We're talking about monies being moved out of the consolidated fund, because any tax receipt, any fee revenue, any borrowing proceeds has to be first deposited into the consolidated fund in accordance with the Constitution of the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
So now, and if you are going to move that money out of the consolidated fund, it has to be approved by Parliament.
Yes, sir.
Not even a cabinet. It has to be.
That's what I'm getting.
It has to be
you.
Appropriated. That's right. It has to be appropriated by the Parliament. The Minister of Finance says he got that approval in a resolution. Except his resolution only accounted for about $300 million. He told us he moved $700 million.
Oh, my God.
Okay, now we're saying he said he moved $700 million into the NIF, and I'm saying, how do you move it? The NIF cannot have an account because it has to have a board.
It doesn't have a board.
Yeah, it doesn't have a board. We didn't say that it doesn't have a board. The Minister of Finance said it doesn't have a board.
So
I'm saying the money, if it was sent even notionally, could only have been sent to an account that still belongs to the Consolidated Fund. In which case, appropriating that money, meaning spending that money on something, had to be approved by the Parliament. So show me that approval. That money having been spent must hit the budget.
Well,
because it came out of the consolidated fund.
Well, see, the thing about it is, Mr. Lang, if they, the budget, if my memory also serves me correct, the budget has already been passed, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So if they say we had $50,000 hypothetically for the budget, and then you go for $200 and something million to add to the budget, then something got to be wrong with that, eh? As well,
well, the only, first of all, a minister of finance can do something like that, but only to an extent. It's called a contingency, right?
Okay.
And then what has to happen is that he spends above the appropriated amount, he will at the earliest opportunity have to go to the parliament and ask parliament for permission to have spent the money he spent contingently by way of a supplemental appropriation bill.
Oh, Jesus. Well, anyway, the only thing I can tell you in the general public, whichever one of y'all get the most minutes or you're on your phone, call the police. Okay? Thanks for taking Grammy Boy call.
You're welcome.
And Shivago, again, while you and I are discussing and talking about these things, and I have questions, and you are addressing these things from a point of knowledge, because you understand how this works, you've been exposed to this. The fact of the matter is, when you don't have the information, you can only make these reasonable assumptions or these reasonable assertions, you know, to have this make sense.
Mm.
And in the absence of us having the details, we can now only go by what we know to be the act, the law, how it works.
Yes.
So, and I'm saying that because there may be someone listening saying, well, no, that's not what happened. Okay, but we don't have any details other than being able to go by this and what has been said to us.
Exactly, and that's the point. The point is that I have not spoken to anything other than what was said. Okay, we didn't say we moved $700 million. The Minister of Finance did. We didn't say that there's no board. That's right, the Minister of Finance did. We didn't say
as
we moved to the National Investment Fund. The Minister said that. Now, based on what the Minister said, we simply went to the law and read what
the
law
said. How can
this
be done?
And if I'm wrong, it's easy for someone to come and say, no, you're wrong. The law doesn't say that. And remember, I read the law on this show. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Dr. Laverne. So my question is listening to the evidence, because that's what I would think in terms of a debate. I kind of scratched my head over the response from Latree. Because he's just telling me, oh, we spend the money on this and even like that. But I'm thinking about the paper trail, as you all discussed. I'm thinking about the financial reporting. You know, the thing that he would provide and show us exactly how the money was used. And now with these gray areas, do you think that this could become the law should intervene in terms of the security armed forces? Should SIB intervene? Should there be an investigation open to see exactly what's going on, a forensic audit of this particular instance to determine exactly what's going on? And then another point I wanted to raise is they apparently thought they was already allocating monies and forecasting monies for airport developments over the last 5 years or 6 years. And so when he said that they use it for airport again, I kind of threw me for a loop. I actually had to go on and kind of do some research to see exactly what in the budget was allocated and actually spent. And we haven't really know exactly how that is in terms of what was borrowed, or what partnerships were done, how much money is already being spent, what airports are completed, which airports are in progress, which airports have not started as yet. So these are questions that I wrote in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know that there is anything at the moment that rises to the level of criminal offense. But I don't have all the details, though, whether somebody break the law in terms of some criminal offense. But what I do know is what has been described by the Minister of Finance appears to have broken the law of the National Investment Fund and the Constitution insofar as the treatment of monies moving in and out of the consolidated fund. That's what it seems to me in the absence of greater details.
My mind is summing up to say that his decision was resulted in an act against the Bahamian people versus an act that would push all in favor of the Bahamian people?
Well, I mean,
I don't know if we can say it's a push against, but I think what the issue is that there isn't, we don't have sufficient information to really make any sort of determination.
Yeah.
And we're asking these questions because the information has not been made available. All of the information has not been made available. And what has been made available to us based on at different points and different assertions, it is not adding up in the sense for you to say, oh, okay, I see. It is giving you more questions.
Well, they have a chance. They've had chances. They still have a chance. The fact of the matter is there are some things that have been said that appear to contradict the law. And so if the government is willing, it can say to us, no, you have it wrong, and let me show you how you have it wrong.
Right.
Yeah. I will come right on the show and I'll say, no, yeah, you know, we had that wrong because this is what actually happened and the government clarified it for us.
Sometimes we can give them to do that.
I personally believe by later today or early tomorrow, we should have some further clarification.
And if they don't, then what's next?
Well, me, I'm a commentator man on a show, on a talk show. All I can do is comment. I'm a Bahamian citizen with a talk show that tries to educate the Bahamian public. That's all I can do. Thank you, brother. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, yeah. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
Hope you're doing
good afternoon.
Mr. Lang, let me just ask you something. This institutionalized knowledge that you are dispensing today, where is this vested? Is this in the financial secretary, the PSS, or what?
It's vested in anyone who took the time to understand how our government works in this regard, and people who have had experience in the public finances of the Bahamas. And so that's a whole lot of people. I can name them for you on both the F&M side, the PLP side, and otherwise, et cetera. That's enough people.
No, you know, because I'm getting the impression, you know, like a new minister of finance or whatever it is, he's guided by the financial secretary or the permanent secretary, the technocrats in that ministry. Because I don't think that a minister knowing that these are the procedures or these are the things that should be in place would arbitrarily just decide to play checkers
First of all, the financial secretary is the top technical financial advisor to the government. Permanent secretaries are the principal administrative advisors to the policy directorate, right? It is my job as minister to know the laws that govern my authority. Not the financial secretaries. It's my job to read the Financial Administration and Audit Act, to read the Constitution of the Bahamas and any other law that governs any area of responsibility I have. That's my job. Because I am the policy director and I am the one directing government policy. And a technical person might say to me, well, Minister, I know this is what you are seeking to do, but you are unable to do it because the law says so, and I have to have looked at that law and see that I can or cannot do that. So I can't put on a financial administrator or any administrator that this is happening, that is happening. That responsibility falls on me. Why? Because the parliament said, the constitution says that the executive, which is the cabinet, is accountable to the parliament, not the financial secretary, not the permanent secretary. The executive, which is the cabinet, is accountable to the parliament.
I get the impression that sometimes they just want the finances to look good and that people would not scrutinize, not, you know, that everybody would not go into the details and so on and so forth. We just want to make the, you know, how if you want to more or less cook the book, so to speak.
Then don't have a public accounts committee of the House of Assembly. Don't have a private free press. Don't have any knowledgeable experts in the field. And just if you get rid of all them people, don't have no opposition. If you get rid of all them people, you're straight.
But my last question is: is this an illegal act?
Well, at the moment, what we are saying is it appears that they have done something that is not supported by the law, the National Investment Funds Act, which is against the law, which from that point of view could be illegal.
See, because I think unless, like I said earlier, unless the government is challenged in the courts, and unless they are challenged, because it's the court's duty to keep both civil and the society and the government in check.
But you could challenge in the courts, right? And what will happen? What could happen? You could challenge in the court, take it to the Supreme Court, have a review, and then unless there's a bar above an appeal, then they could appeal that, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah, but by the time they finish appealing, they'll be at election.
Which leaves you to be the last judge.
Right.
All right. Thanks, man. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. We're going to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can give us a call. Let Printmasters bring
in building telephone 302-2361.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline, August 12th. Drawing, August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From spin-off to spin rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands toll free on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner, and we are discussing any number of issues, in particular NIF, the National Investment Fund, and all the monies we moved in and out the fund, raising some questions. You know, Laverne, let me say this before we go to some callers. Let's take the callers first. I'll say it afterwards. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
But, Mr. Lang, you know what I can't understand? All of the people like yourself, who's been teaching us and browing us and explaining all this information, people, economists like you, James Smith, Julian Francis, all these governors of the central bank, been teaching us for years how money is managed in government, in the central bank, and around town. And as much as we've been talking about this over and over and over, nothing ever seems to improve. Nobody does anything about it. They promise us for years about the Freedom of Information Act. Well, they run on this ticket that when they go in the House of Assembly, they could do this, they could do that. And soon after the election, they go in there, hold the Bible, swear to the king and his heirs and successors, get what they teach the people or promise the people, and we start going all over it again for another 5 years. At the end of 5 years, we still have no Freedom of Information Act.
But wait a minute, because I don't want you to conflate life. So first of all, you say nothing is done. That's not true. I want you to look up to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas between 1993 and 2002. Look at the books of the Bahamas, 2007 and 2012. Things happening. So don't say that. You will find that the operation of the budget of the Bahamas was as professionally done as you could imagine. And accountability was a key component of how the government operated. So I can't say that because I have been a part of those administrations. I can't tell you, I cannot agree with you on that. So let's be careful. The Freedom of Information Act has not been passed, not been in operation. I agree with you 100%. It's a disgrace. But that's what it is. All right. Do we have another call on the line? Laverne, what I wanted to say was a number of people keep asking about, you know, why we don't take this stuff for judicial review, as if it is a fait accompli that if you got a judicial review, that you will get an answer. Yeah, they break the law. You could get an answer that says, no, they didn't break the law. Now, I want you to know that if a judge made that conclusion in the circumstances I am observing now, I would be highly troubled, because that might give license to things that for me today is troublesome, but you don't know that that would be the case or not, right? I'm saying you can't do a judicial review. But I'm just saying it is in a fait accompli. Secondly, we want you to imagine the top most competent attorneys you could find in the Bahamas today. Find me one of them willing to take this matter to court on behalf of the opposition or anybody. Find me one. See how easy that is.
Well, I can say from my standpoint, I need to be able to understand. I'm not looking for innocent, guilty verdict. I'm not looking to say, you know, sometimes we're searching for answers, but we're searching for the answers that we want.
Yes, exactly.
But what I want to know is, how does this happen? Did it happen according to the law? What are the steps followed? How does this add up when I consider all of the past, like I said, announcements in terms of financing that we already got for airport infrastructure? How was the funds allocated? You put something in there now that has me thinking there's no board. So who received this money? What, you know, so all of these questions. And you know what? I am willing to say that the government has an answer for all of my questions. I just need the information.
Well, let me say this. First of all, to answer those questions, I don't need a judge. I don't need a court.
No.
So, right? Because thank God we've been educated in this country sufficiently to read and comprehend. Secondly, we have a set of experience and skills that allows us to be able to analyze what is before us. And thirdly, I could tell you, Swasti Laverne, if the government isn't answering me, it's because the answer they would give is not an answer they want to give. So even if the government doesn't answer me, doesn't answer these queries, I already have my answer. That is a fact.
That's your an silence, answer in and of itself.
No, your silence is spoken loudly, because I can tell you one thing. Any politician who has something good to tell you can't wait to tell you it and will call every press on planet Earth to tell you it. Every politician, because popularity is the currency of politics. A politician wants to remain in power. To remain in power, popularity is it. Popularity is associated with doing things that people deem good and on their behalf. If you don't want to tell me what you're doing, it's because you don't like what you're doing, or I won't like what you're doing. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah. Good afternoon again, Laverne. This show is a keeper. I roll in these tapes over and over and over again, right, in my studio. And I come across another question. I think you have already basically answered it, Drew Laverne, but I will ask it again. In order to move funds from the consolidated fund, there must be certain parameters and procedures in place.
Only one thing. Approval of Parliament.
Approval of Parliament.
To appropriate it, to spend it for a purpose.
Okay, approval of Parliament. Mm-hmm. So if that was not done, right, how I know that $270,000 was all within that fund? Huh? Suppose could it have been $1 billion?
Well, I can't know. You and I cannot know. First of all, you know, Mr. Ingram taught me this. He said, Chivago, when a minister speaks, there is a presumption that he or she is speaking the truth, right? There is that. Because a minister whose word cannot be trusted cannot be a minister. Now, if the public, however, requires supporting information for what I say, I should be willing to give it. Why? Because it is their money, their resources. So if the public seems to be having this lingering doubt about a matter, it's easy for me to satisfy them. I could say to the treasurer, please produce for the benefit of the public a statement of account for this particular item. And you will then therefore now have your answer. Even if I say, let them see what we transacted on the account, because that would be like, because to not do so would be like my attorney saying, no, I'm not going to show you how I spent funds you entrusted to me to operate on your behalf. Because all the funds, all the monies the government of the Bahamas holds on your behalf is trust money. A trust means that it can only be used for your benefit, and it is your money. And to be unwilling to show you, tell you, explain to you how and what and why it did what it did with your money is to operate on the absolute antithetical basis, opposite basis of goods.
Yeah, thank you. But Mr. Lang, you asked the question that which lawyer will be bold enough to go after this? I think...
They say the most competent ones, the most competent, the most capable ones.
I think Mr. Pintard may be on to something, so I would expect him to lead a charge in that direction to the court.
But only if he could get a lawyer, only if he could get a lawyer or set of lawyers to cooperate with him, though.
He's
not a lawyer.
He's no lawyer.
No, Mr. Pintard, he's not.
No, he's not.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he wasn't a lawyer.
No, man, he's not a lawyer.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, brother. We have another call on the line? No? Laverne, you had a point you wanted to make?
No. Okay. We can go ahead. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, we have some text here, but best we take this final break, pay our respects to our marvelous sponsors, and then come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner. We'll be back after this final break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. Can't proclaim this issue.
It may be hot outside, but you can stay cool knowing BOB is backing your summer plans. That's because summer starts with Bank of the Bahamas.
Whether you're paying school fees, planning home improvements, or taking a much-needed vacation, BOB offers the lowest consumer loan rate in the country, and we will beat any rate offered by 1%.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Let BOB help you take care of business so you can get to summer fun. Apply for your BOB summer loan today.
BOB, your bank of solutions.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and...
Our General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner, and we're talking about mostly the National Investment Fund, which we like to call NIF. I think we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello, go ahead, caller. Oh, no. Okay. Laverne, you had a question?
Yeah, my question was, is this the NIF in its current form just another capital expenditure account?
Not the NIF itself, but the assertion that money's being used out of the NIF is likely only capital expenditure out of the consolidated fund.
Okay.
Yeah. That's likely what is true. This text says, good afternoon to you both. The lack of transparency is baffling and borders on tipping point of unusual to maybe illegal without proper explanation. Wow. That's clear. This text says, when doing something that goes against the law, isn't that considered criminal? Not all things done against the law is criminal. It might be illegal, but not criminal, right? So it's not all. It isn't criminal to run the red light. It is illegal to do so. But, you know, I mean, I guess maybe I'm passing. Maybe a lawyer could answer that question better than I could. Be honest, I don't know. But even if it's a crime, the penalty depends on what the law says. So some crimes that the government might commit or some illegal acts that the government might commit has no penalty in law. Hey, the law says you should produce a report. You don't produce a report. End of story. So this text, the only penalty is that the public gets to see you break the law, and then the public should punish you when the time comes. This text is, good afternoon, Mr. Lang and Mrs. Gardner. I think Z Live should have a 3-hour show because it's very informative. Thank you very much, Brother Lang. 3 hours, my blood pressure would be to the roof. Thank you very much. 2 hours is enough for me. This text says, it would seem that Latre Raming has more relevance than the Deputy Prime Minister, as he was able to comment on the particulars of the fund spending. Wow. Think that's true, Laverne?
No comment.
This text says, Mr. Lang, if you look in the Illustra newspaper, you will see the Minister of Works giving a no-bid contract for over $6 million contract to him, this campaign manager. Managers, wow. Okay. Okay. We'll have to check on that. This text says, earlier today, a statement was made that, in quote, nobody interested in high-ranking politician one anymore. People have moved on. Oh, okay.
I'm nobody because I am.
Yeah, Miss, that's two of us. Two nobodies. Right here. Any other nobodies out there? This text says, it further says, I was shocked, to put it mildly. In every single national issue we raise a concern about, I can see politicians dredging in Exuma despite an injunction, the state of the hospital, this strange agreement with BGC, and the secretive movement of $700 million from investment fund. When it don't make sense, check the dollars. Okay. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang and your guest. Turbulence. It is obvious that these funds were misappropriated. The money was, now, you know, the technical definition of misappropriated is, if the parliament did not appropriate it for that purpose and you use it for another purpose, that's misappropriation. Right. The money was squandered. Only one airport was completed. That's in Cat Island. And that was funded by something else, as far as I know. They sent out tenders for Eleuthera, Mayaguana, Long Island, but nothing has started. $256 million just disappeared. It's more than that for me, because it's 400 and something. $35 million not accounted for from the $700 million that I was told was sent.
You started off with $700 million.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow. Call the police, Chivago. You need protection. Laugh aloud. Me? No, boy. Me? You know? Yeah. To the caller, sorry, I do not believe and I do not know. I believe ignorance is used as a shield to do what they want to. I find it impossible, for example, for someone to be president of a company, never look at one financial statement, never notice that excess monies are running through the account, or that an individual is not an officer of the company is randomly withdrawing funds. Pretense ignorance. Oh, really? I didn't understand is a shield. All right, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
Right here, man. What's up?
Well, all is well, and good afternoon to Lady Gardner. I just want to say this, right, and I'll hang up and listen to you. When someone continuously just do what they want to do, regardless of the rules, regulations, or the legality of it, the legality matter of it, when someone continues just to do what they want to do and has a blind ear to what people are saying, how do we now move forward? How you can voice or even get to an individual or entity such as that? I think I will listen to you, sir.
Well, the reality is our political process is such that elections have terms attached to it. And when you have done an election, if things ain't going good, the sentence is 5 years. And if things going good, the paradise is 5 years. And what do you do? You could only, in between elections, impact the popularity of politicians by commentary, by written or audio commentary, by advocacy, by calling them and or shaming them or that kind of stuff. That's all you could do, and nothing else you could do, really. That's it. That's how it works. Ain't nothing else. We don't have no recall system in the Bahamas. You want to get rid of people who you don't think doing your work? Go out there and get enough people to say, listen, when the time comes, let's get rid of them people. That's the only way you could do it. That's it. That's how our system works. This text says, Honorable Fred Mitchell said, only the upper class snobs want FOIA, not the average man. Boy, he could spin some garbage.
What?
Wow. For real?
Oh, I must be upper class. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And all the members of the press is upper class too, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, a statement like those for me. What are you saying? I don't see how the average Bahamian, like when you hear a statement like that, that doesn't bother you.
No, but that's not honest even. That's not even an honest statement because they promised for you in their plan.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the prime minister said it wasn't a thing, he promised that for you would be on the agenda. He promised it. So they must not be upper class. They must be upper class and not average citizens. This says, Mr. Lang, what do you think happened to the money? I don't want to think what happens to the money. I just want to know what happened to the money.
That's it right there.
Yeah, I just
want
to know.
I don't want to guess.
Now, if I can't know now, then perhaps then by those who might help me know. But I could know that now by virtue of accountability, or I could know it later by virtue of subsequent accountability in the event of a change. That's how we can all know. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Spago. I'm Laverne.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to know. I mean, let's say you have a good boss. Is it okay for him just to come in your house and, like, have your wife cook him food and he just takes money out your pants and go? And you be comfortable with that because you like him? It's like these guys, how they not be concerned who's politician number one? What made you stop one think that? Like, how do they just feel comfortable with saying that, okay, we don't worry about it no more? It's our money. We want to know what's going on with our money in our country, and you're not concerned?
But why are you trying to cause fight in man house?
No, but it's the same thing. It's people taking advantage of you and you don't care. It's like you, how could you not care?
But you're trying to cause a fight, though.
It really is. Right? It might be a fight.
Point well made. You have another call on the line. Go ahead, call. We're listening to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Brother Lang, and to Laverne.
Yeah. What's up? Hi, go ahead. I can 52, we can't hear you. All right, Laverne, we're getting to the end. Any final thoughts?
Well, like I say, I will be really paying attention between this evening and tomorrow morning for further explanation about this.
Okay. Well, we had a current cutoff apparently. at the studio, the current cutoff at the studio. So that's why 52 got dropped.
Okay.
So current cutoff. Well, you know, maybe you tipped the handle because maybe they were going to say something now because you putting pressure or saying they're going to do it. Maybe it won't happen now.
It's going to happen.
Well, oh, happy day. It would be a happy day if we could get clarity. If I can, listen, man.
Absolutely.
I have no interest in any information that suggests that Obama's doing stupidness. I'm interested in the information that says, yeah, no, man, there's sensible stuff going on here. And that's good for the country. Right?
Yes.
So we shall see. I'm going to be counting down. Laverne said we can get a word by this evening or tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, the latest. Before noon tomorrow.
Okay. We can do the countdown.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I want to take up something to do with some words, some stuff that Mr. Leslie Miller said. Just trying to clarify some things. So, you know, let's see what happens. Thank you very much, Laverne. I appreciate you.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you, Dwight, for lending me your skillful partner on Thursday. So appreciate you. we'll be back, God spares life, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. You all have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Relang, your host. Thank you.